245 years ago, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we can live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for His blessings on America and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series on Amendment 4. This is a radical pro-abortion amendment that would allow abortion for any reason up to the point of viability, which is not defined, but could be between 22 and 23, 24 weeks. So we're talking about really late-term abortion. And up until birth, if a medical provider deems that it is that abortion is necessary to protect the not life of the mother, but the health of the mother, and health is not defined as medical health. It could be financial health, could be emotional health. Medical provider is not limited to doctor. You could have someone that actually is a nurse, someone that is a nurse practitioner, someone that is a home health person, someone that's a psychiatrist, someone who is a chiropractor, someone who even works at the abortion clinic. And of course, the abortionist who would profit from the abortion could be the one that actually makes the determination that it is necessary to rip a baby's arms and legs off, crush her skull in order to protect the health of this mother. Know this, there is never, ever, ever a reason or a need to slice a baby's arms and legs off, crush her skull, to remove her from her mother's womb. There's never a necessity to do that to save the life of a mother. It doesn't happen. Sometimes premature delivery has to happen. And sometimes that happens before we have the technology to actually deliver and protect that baby. Of course, this amendment, if passed, would provide zero legal protection for those babies prior to viability. But even after viability, we currently have the technology to actually deliver a baby prematurely and to fight to save that baby's life. But this amendment would not require that to happen. This amendment would allow that baby to be sliced limb from limb, that baby to be partially delivered, as in what is known as partial birth abortion, where the baby is fully delivered except for the head, and then a scalpel is used to cut the base of the skull, and then the abortionist actually sucks the brain out of the baby and then delivers this dead baby. This is barbaric, and it is something that we should never, ever, ever allow, and I encourage you to vote no on Amendment 4. We have shown in this church many times, and including in this series, that God is the creator of every innocent human life. In fact, He's the creator of every life, even those that are guilty. And no one who is innocent should be put to death. The only way that humans should ever put someone to death is the only way that humans should ever put someone to death is if that human being has committed a capital offense. The Bible lays those out: rape, incest. You also have murder. The abortionist are guilty of murder. They really should be tried for murder because they are actually shedding innocent blood. And so this is something that really the preborn children have done nothing worthy of death. And from a biblical perspective, we should protect every innocent human life. We have studied, and you can watch those previous sermons on our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, and see that where we have studied that God creates us, He forms us, He knits us in our mother's womb. King David said that he was a sinner from conception. To be a sinner, you have to be a human being. You have to have a person. You have to be a person. You have to have a soul. And the Bible tells us that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still in his mother's womb. And very likely that happened when he was visited by Jesus Christ, who was also in his mother's womb, Mary. And the Bible tells us that when that happened, that John leapt in his mother's womb, and that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically whether that is when John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. We do know from the Bible that he would be filled, and he was filled by the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. It is very likely that it happened right at that time when baby Jesus in his mother's womb, even at a much earlier gestation, came into his presence. And so biblically, we should protect and defend every innocent human life. But even if you reject the biblical testimony that all life is created in God's image, even if you reject that, even if you buy the lie of Planned Parenthood that preborn children are a blob of tissue. By the way, they're not. The women that are delivering dead babies in their toilet are seeing actually babies with arms and legs and hands and feet and fingers and toes. They are seeing this, and they know that this is not a blob of tissue. This is a preborn child. And by the way, for anyone that has been involved in abortion, whether you've worked at an abortion mill, whether you've actually participated in an abortion, whether you've encouraged someone to have an abortion, maybe it was your grandchild that you were encouraging the death of your grandchild by telling your daughter or your son, you're not old enough to be a father, you're not old enough to be a mother. Maybe you were actually the mother who actually reluctantly or willingly participated in paying an abortionist to actually kill your baby. Maybe you're the father who was encouraging or pressuring this baby to your girlfriend or your wife to actually have an abortion and kill this baby. Have the abortionist kill this preborn child. Maybe you're a father who was advocating for the life of his son or daughter, but you were living in such a way that you could actually father a child that was unwanted, quote unquote, unwanted. And by the way, every child is wanted. There are people waiting to adopt children. But maybe you were just living irresponsibly. God is calling you to repent of your sins. I know there are people listening who have participated in abortion and are hoping that no one will find out. They keep this as a, you may be keeping this as a lit as your secret, hoping that no one will find out, ashamed of what you actually did. confess your sin to God. God is faithful and just to forgive your sins if you confess your sins to God. And in confessing and repenting and turning from that sin is what is necessary for you to be set free. Some of the biggest advocates for life in the pro-life movement have actually been involved in abortion, and many of the women in the pro-life movement have actually had abortions. Many of the men have actually had babies that were killed by abortion. God is able to redeem. He's able to forgive. He's able to set you free from that sin. But even if you reject the clear teaching of God, I encourage you to vote no on Amendment 4, because this would allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God is setting before us today life and death, blessings and cursings. And he is calling for us to choose life, that both we and our descendants may live. We talked last week about how God commands us to defend the fatherless, to defend the weak, to deliver the poor and needy, to free them from the hand of the wicked. And certainly, the preborn children are not literally fatherless, but very often their father is advocating for their death. So in a way, they're even worse than fatherless, because they have a father that doesn't love them and is advocating for their death. And even when their father is advocating for their life, their father certainly has a role to play and can encourage the protection of that baby. But the father does not have any legal rights in that decision. And so really, what we're talking about here, we need to do justice. We need to defend the fatherless. We need to defend the weak, deliver the poor and needy. We read from Proverbs 24, verses 10 through 12, where God tells us to deliver those who are unjustly sentenced to death. Some translations, the Living Bible actually says rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. We looked at how that word actually, the word that is used for deliver or rescue, is actually the same word as when David and his men went off to war and they came back and their wives and their children and their belongings had been captured by an enemy that came in and pillaged their camp. And the Bible says that David and his men went and rescued or delivered their wives and their children and all of their belongings. So this is what God is calling for us to do. The Bible also lays out in other passages this same philosophy of setting forth justice, of delivering justice, of even letting justice roll down like water. In a passage that was used by Martin Luther King Jr., Amos chapter 5, we're going to read verses 21 through 24. I despise your feast days and do not savor your sacred assemblies. So here God is saying that he hates and despises the feast days of Israel and doesn't savor their sacred assemblies. Now, God had actually told them to keep certain feasts, like Passover, which we just had, and many people, Jews and Christians alike, celebrated and commemorated the Passover. But you have these various feast days, the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Tabernacles. These are things that God commanded them to keep. But you see here that God didn't actually, he hated them. He didn't love them. He hated them. He despised them. Why? Because the people were actually committing sin. In verse 22, though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fatted peace offerings. So the offerings that God had commanded them to bring, he's saying, I do not honor these. I will not respect these. I don't regard these. I don't want you to bring these. Why? Because they were sinning. And he says in verse 23, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. So imagine this, God saying, don't sing any praise songs to me. Don't sing any hymns to me. I despise these songs. Why? Because they were committing iniquity. You see, God desires mercy and not sacrifice. God wants us to obey him. He requires obedience from us. And what it says in the next verse, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. So we are to actually, and this is, by the way, the way this is phrased is phrased that the people that he was talking to, the children of Israel, were supposed to be active participants in this. And even today, even though we don't, some of us don't keep the feast, and there are Christians that keep the feast, and there are Christians that don't keep the feast. There are Christians that certainly we don't sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and sheep anymore. We don't have to physically shed the blood of animals for the remission of our sins, because Jesus Christ has become our scapegoat. He has become our Passover lamb. His blood was shed once and for all so that our sins could be covered and can be blotted out. So we don't need that anymore, but we still come before God in prayer. We still come before God in praise and worship. We still come before him in worship on the Lord's Day. Yet what we actually see here is that God is saying, don't do this, but establish justice. Let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. We are called by God to be an active participant in establishing justice in the land, in rescuing those who are unjustly sentenced to death, and doing good and preserving life. And what we're talking about here, when we're talking about letting justice run down like water, what does justice mean for someone who is innocent, who has done no wrong, who has committed no iniquity, who has certainly committed no offense worthy of death? What should be done to establish justice for that person when their life is at danger, when they are scheduled to have their arms and legs ripped off and their skull crushed and be removed from their mother's womb, when they're scheduled to be ripped limb from limb? How do you establish justice for that person, or when they are actually going to have a chemical that cuts off the necessary hormones that are necessary to preserve their life and to continue their development, and then another pill that causes a violent delivery where their mother delivers their dead baby in her own toilet. And actually the blood is washed away from that precious preborn child. And she sees this baby with the arms and the legs and the hands and the feet, the head that is there. And she sees and she knows that this is not a blob of tissue, that she has actually participated in the death of her own child. How do we establish justice for those who have their life, who are scheduled to be executed for something they did not do, for a crime they did not commit? Even in the case of rape and incest is horrible. We need to execute the rapist. The Bible calls for the execution of rapists. Rape is a capital offense. And if we were to roll back the calendar 70 years, in every state of this union, the penalty for rape was either life in prison or the death penalty. Yet today, what we do is we don't put a rapist to death anymore. What we do today is we actually send them to prison for a period of time, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe a little bit longer. We let them out and put them on a sexual offender list, and they can then go out and reoffend, which many of them do. But what we do, we actually still execute, in many cases, we still execute someone in the rape, and that is the preborn child that has done nothing wrong, that has done nothing worthy of death. And by the way, this child is innocent and doesn't deserve to die. And we have actually heard from women who have been raped and have also gone through abortion. And those women have told us that the abortion was more traumatic than the rape, because the rape wasn't their fault, but in the abortion, they participated in the decision that would result in the death of their preborn child. And they have to live with that for the rest of their life, knowing that they participated in the death of their own child. So how do we establish justice? How do we let justice roll down like water for the preborn who have their lives scheduled, who are scheduled to have their lives killed, who are scheduled to be ripped limb from limb or killed by chemical abortions or to be burned to death by a saline solution? How do we let justice roll down? How do we let righteousness be like a mighty stream for them? We save their life. We protect their innocent life. And part of doing that is going to be voting no on Amendment 4 in November. If this amendment passes, it will be a dark day for the state of Florida, and we will become, as we already have been, an abortion destination state where women will come in from other states, and women have been coming in from other states to Florida to actually have, not to go to Disney, not to go to the beach, but to actually pay an abortionist to kill their preborn child. We need to vote no on Amendment 4. The Bible actually tells us in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, what God requires of us. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God? How do we do justly to a preborn child who is scheduled for execution? How do we do justly for the future generation and future preborn children who actually will be subject to execution if we vote yes on Amendment 4? Well, we need to vote no on Amendment 4. And we need to tell our friends and encourage our friends to vote no on Amendment 4. We need to be willing to have a yard sign in our yard that says no on 4, and to have a yard sign in front of our business that says no on 4, or to have a yard sign in front of your church. Encourage your pastor to have a yard sign in front of your church. We need to do justice. Do you see, this is an action. We need to be active in doing justice. By the way, there are people that we're going to need people to knock on doors. We're going to need people to make phone calls. We're going to need people to put those signs at the precincts. You can't do it by yourself. One person can't do it by yourself. I know, I've tried. It can't be done. We have to actually get involved to do justice, to establish justice here on this earth. We need to love mercy and to walk humbly before our God. And you may think, well, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but really, we can't really do much. But really, that's not true. God has called us to make disciples of the nations and to train them in obedience to God's commandments. In fact, the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." That word authority, it actually means privilege, i.e. force, capacity, competency, freedom, or mastery, potentate, token of control, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, strength. That really God has given us all authority. Jesus had the right to act, and he has given that to us, the right to act, and we need to do this and to go into the earth and to disciple the nations in obedience to his commandments. We also need to realize that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're to go forth and shine the light of Christ. We're also called to be the pillar and the ground of truth. And remember that the gates of hell cannot stand against the church. I want to encourage you to adopt a biblical worldview and seek to protect every innocent human life. But even if you don't, realize that Amendment 4 will mean abortion on demand from the moment of conception all the way up until the moment of birth. I encourage you to vote no on 4. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Years ago, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we can live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for his blessings on America and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
In Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. In Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in sin.